104.5 The Zone, 818. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Alongside Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram, Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. Be sure you're voting in our 104.5 The Zone Twitter polls this morning.
Yeah, not Rushmore.
We're talking about substantive issues.
Right, well.
Not the DH, not the zone defense, not, souped up offenses in the NFL.
We have our poll out there about Rick Barnes and his press conference. Fine with it. Seemed weird. What the heck? And also, Schaefer put out a very important question came up. What are on your Mount Rushmore of candy bars beyond Snickers? It's up for grabs. So we'll give you the results of that, too. Let's bring in from VolQuest.com, Brent Hubbs. Brent, what's going on this morning?
That's Brent.
Yeah.
Not much. You got to put a Hershey's with almonds on that Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, though. I'm with you on that one.
That's got to go.
I like that.
You know, I don't think there's any question about that. But no, other than that, we're doing good in Knoxville. Hope you guys are well.
Yeah. See, we said that you probably eat a little healthier than the rest of us do because you're usually, breaking beans or doing things, that are more healthy pursuits than talking about candy bars.
Oh, we can go, look, I can go candy bar. We can go through the whole list if you want to. But I know my candy bars. Okay,
he's a man of many talents.
I can rattle through, and there's more than four that go on my Mount Rushmore candy bars. Let's put it that way.
Brent, as far as Rick Barnes and the press conference yesterday and Philip Fulmer, we always appreciate candor and honesty. But did Coach Barnes go maybe a little too far in describing how close he was to going to UCLA?
Well, I mean, it's a matter of opinion. Did he go too far? I mean, I was not surprised at his honesty and his candor, if you will. Could he have left some of that, underneath the table and not said it and been better off? Maybe. I mean, if you're a PR person, you're certainly not advising him to handle it that way. I'm sitting there last night and talking to somebody, and all I can think of is, Cuba Gooding Jr. and Jerry Maguire in the wedding scene, and he turns to Tom Cruise and goes, well, that was one way to handle it. kind of the way it was with Rick Barnes yesterday. You know, that was one way to handle it. So, I think in the end, when you get the raise that he's getting and you're going to make the money he's making and you've created the expectations you've created here, it ultimately more than ever becomes about wins and losses. Some people didn't like the approach, and that will change some of their opinions of Rick Barnes, probably. For others, probably not a big deal. So I think it'll pass, but, it's all going to be judged on how much he wins, because they've created a bar, and they're paying an amount of money that nobody ever saw in basketball, that it really is about wins and losses, and that's what it's about.
They both denied it, but do you think there was any sort of issue with Barnes and Philip Fulmer?
I don't think that there was, an issue where Barnes questioned whether Fulmer believed in him or supported him. I think there's been things over the last year and a half, that Rick Barnes has had to fight for, probably had to fight harder for than he probably believes that he should have to fight for at this point in his career. I'm very curious to see the assistant coaches' contracts or salaries when they get done. Are they going to be on multi-year contracts? I know that's been certainly that something Rick Barnes has been an advocate for and wanted, particularly with all the football coaches on multi-year deals. The one thing that Philip Fulmer denied and said was there was not an issue with salary pool. And I don't think that was the issue, because they got that issue fixed the previous year when they had to fight for that. I think there were some issues with salary for some support staff people, non-coaches. And I think the other big thing for Rick Barnes was, multi-year contracts for his assistant coaches, and we'll wait and see if he got those things as a part of his new deal. And we obviously want to see his new deal, which we've reported is going to pay him, around 4.7 to start in a new 5-year contract.
Our guest is Brent Hubbs. His outstanding website is VolQuest.com.
No doubt about it. I guess on to the spring game, and what were your takeaways, I guess, good and bad? Let's start with the quarterback.
Well, got off to a slow start. I didn't think played particularly well early. Got hot, threw the ball better. I thought Jim Chaney, schematically did some things to help him and getting into the quick game and getting the ball out of his hands a little faster, because they were certainly having a hard time protecting up front and protecting off the edge. I think the biggest question for Jerry Garantano is, can they keep him upright? Can they protect him long enough to get the ball out of his hands and let him stay healthy all year long? He's better now than he was at the start of spring. Jim Chaney's been good for him. I don't think overall the offensive side of the ball finished spring practice the way they started. I think the defense probably leaves spring with more momentum given how they played the last two scrimmages compared to what the offense did the first couple of scrimmages of the spring.
We're talking about the defense saying that they're building momentum. Who's this kid, the linebacker there, Reed, the inside linebacker?
Shannon Reed's been around. He's played special teams. He just hadn't had a ton of opportunities because of Darren Kirkland Jr. being out and because Will Ignatz's been limited with some non-contact work. He's gotten more opportunities down the stretch, and he made some plays. He's gotten, you know, heavier and stronger, and we'll see. I mean, he's going to be in the conversation for playing time, and you know, we'll see how he plays moving forward. It's a guy who had a good spring game. I you know, you kind of put the brakes on that. We've seen some guys have good spring games and never be factors before. But Jeremy Pruitt was complimentary of him after the spring game was over, and he's certainly going to be a factor in special teams. And looks like he's going to have an opportunity to play at inside linebacker, because I'm not sure Darren Kirkland Jr. will ever suit up again for Tennessee because of the knee, and they've got a lack of depth, you know, with that position. But we'll see how far Kavaris Crouch can come. We'll see what J.J. Peterson could do, and we'll see what Henry Toto can do when he gets here. So I think everybody will say that those three guys are more talented than Shannon Reed. We'll see what Shannon Reed looks like heading back into August.
What about the backup quarterback position? I know there's kind of young and inexperienced there, but who do you think is winning that battle?
You know, I think Brian Maurer, the first year player, the freshman, has some moxie about him. Probably throws it better, gets it out of hand better at times than JT Schrout. You know, Maurer came in, I think was four of his first four, looked like he was in complete control, and then he comes back out to start the second half, and he rolls right, throws back across his body left into the middle of the field, and throws an interception. And that's that's a freshman moment. And so there's going to be a drop-off behind Jerry Garantano, as we all know, at the quarterback position. If something were to happen with Jared, my guess is both those guys would play, and they would just try to get one hot and ride the one that got hot and sort of go from there. But Maurer's going to push JT Schrout. Schrout's got a big live arm. A little bit more deliberate in his release, not hardly as quick, and does not move around as well as Brian Maurer does. So it's going to be an interesting battle for that backup spot. But if you got in a game and you lost Garantano, my guess is you probably end up playing both those guys.
Brent, you keep hearing there's a noticeable difference in Jeremy Pruitt from year one to year two. What are some of those things that you've seen or heard about?
Well, he let the assistant coaches talk and visit with the media, which is something that, you know, we've not seen him do in the past. He's complimented individuals in press conferences, which he went all spring a year ago, and I don't think ever mentioned the player specifically by name last spring. He's given up control on some things. I mean, Derek Ansley is his defensive coach. Jim Chaney's his offensive head coach. He's more of a walk-around guy. We saw him in our viewing times on the practice field, not just be with the defensive backs or the corners, but also spending time with the defensive linemen and with the linebackers. He left the offense alone. I think there's probably, as he moves into year two, and he reviewed year one with Philip Fulmer and some other people, I think there's probably a realization that, hey, I thought I could do it all, but I couldn't. I mean, this is the same Jeremy Pruitt who told us last August, you know, hey, if I could call the offense, I'd call the offense too. You know, I'm going to call the defense as long as I'm here, you know, because that's what I do. And now he's not going to call his defense. So I just think you go through the first year and you got all this, you're going to do all these things and you want to do it your way. And you're trying to establish it your way. And sometimes you just step in and say, well, I'll just handle it. But I think after year one, you probably realize, you know, I didn't realize I had to do this much media stuff. I didn't realize I had to do these many events. I didn't realize, you know, donor relationships. I didn't realize the things we had to deal with academically, you know, on the other side of campus and things like that, to the point where he's like, you know what, I've got to entrust my staff and let them go do things. And I think that he is you know, he's being more of a CEO kind of second year head coach, much less of a defensive coordinator who's wearing a head coach's hat like he was a year ago.
Our guest is Brent Hubbs from VolQuest.com. More with Brent coming up in just a moment. You want Tennessee info, that is the place to go, VolQuest.com. 8:28 the time, Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mark with a word or two about the Lee Company.
That's right. Saturday could be your lucky day. Lee Company is holding a special hiring event. Your possibilities are just terrific. Lee Company has more than 50 open positions in plumbing, sheet metal, HVAC, logistics, and general labor. Experience is preferred, but Lee Company will train the right people. Do you belong at Lee Company? Find out. Attend the special hiring event on Saturday. That's 10 till 2 at 1114 Menzler Road in Nashville. Again, that's 10 to 2, 1124 Menzler Road, or call 615-567-1000. See you Saturday. Lee Company, serving Middle Tennessee families and businesses since 1944. All you need.
.1045 The Zone, 8:35 here in the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Looking for a way to put a little play in your day? Play Lotto America. It's the $1 game with jackpots rich enough to make you rich enough. With drawings every Wednesday and Saturday, make sure you stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play today. We hit the lottery when we found Brent Hubbs. He found us from VolQuest.com.
Check out his website. We're on the Chang Gang. That's right, yeah.
But, Brent is as good as it gets. His VolQuest.com website is outstanding. We're always thrilled to have him with us every Wednesday morning.
Absolutely. Hubber, I want to ask you about the offensive line and your take on it, mindful of not only who was there, but really who wasn't.
Well, exactly. I mean, Brandon Kennedy will make things different for this offensive line, I think, in the interior. Although, I mean, you know, he's not the most experienced guy, but he's a talented guy, and getting him back will help. Obviously, we have no idea what Trey Smith's status is going to be moving forward. I think it would be a surprise if he were back anytime soon, but he did more this spring than we ever thought he would do. I think in the offensive interior, they can find parts and can come up with a combination of three guys that they like, and they've got some competition at the guard spots. I think the real challenge and the real question is, what are they going to find at the tackle position? You cannot have two bad tackles, two weak tackles, because you just can't protect both ends that way. This is a pass rush league. This is a league where you got guys who pin their ears back off the edge and come get you. And when you're in third and obvious situations, so they've got to find a way to protect off the edge, because they didn't have an answer for Daryl Taylor. They didn't have an answer for DeAndre Johnson at all on Saturday. The tackle struggled, and you know, you expect Wanya Morris, who's a freshman who was on practice 15 of his career, to have some struggles, and he did in front of a crowd for the first time. I thought, you know, he played like a high school senior who's just transitioning into college. Darnell Wright's coming this summer, asking a lot. Are you going to play two first-year freshmen out there at the tackle position? You know, is Nathan Niehaus going to slide out there? Jameer Johnson going to slide back out there? I think the real question of this offensive line is, what are they going to do on the edges at the tackle spot? Because I think they could be okay in the interior.
We're going to hear about the status of the transfers soon.
You're talking about the eligibility of Solomon and Gibbs.
Yeah.
One would hope. I mean, seems like everybody else has got their answer, but Tennessee hasn't yet. So I would think you would hear something on that in the next month or so. As we saw on Saturday, I think Solomon's a big part of this. You know, big body who can do some things inside. He had his best day of the spring, really, on Saturday, in my opinion. They're trying to get some more consistency out of him, but he's very much going to be in the rotation for Tennessee, provided that he gets, you know, wins the waiver. And Gibbs is going to play special teams, and then we'll see where they play, which side of the ball that they play him on. But I think Solomon showed on Saturday they need him in that rotation. They're better on the defensive front when he's, you know, out there playing, and if they can get him eligible. And then, you know, the junior college players are coming in. Savion Williams, I think, is a big part of this as well. I will say the defensive line left spring with some momentum, given what they did the last two scrimmages.
Speaking of Brent Hubbs, of course, of VolQuest.com, to bottom line it, what was, in your opinion, Pruitt's most pleasant surprise and his biggest disappointment of the spring?
Well, I think, you know, from a disappointment standpoint, still the continued struggles, you know, on the offensive front. Inconsistency in running the football, didn't protect well enough at times. So I think that has to be, you know, that was a concern coming into spring. I think you leave the spring with that same concern. I don't know that he's more disappointed at the end of spring than he was at the start, because you knew that was going to be a problem all the way through. You know, I think in terms of surprise, given how poor of a start I thought the defensive front got off to, and kind of the criticisms that Jeremy Pruitt had for them early in camp when they put on gear and had contact for the first couple of practices, and the extra time we saw Jeremy Pruitt working with that group, for them to perform, you know, and really kind of win the last two scrimmages, I think is a pleasant surprise. They got more out of Matthew Butler than I think many people anticipated. They liked Jonathan Mincy, and you know, Latrell Bumpus showed some signs that he could do some things in some different packages. So they're not great up front. I don't want anybody to suggest that, because they're far from it. But they did leave spring, I think, feeling a little better about the defensive line than they felt about it 2 weeks into spring. I can say that.
Brent Hubbs, thanks so much, man. Oh, sorry, Blaine, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I just want to ask you one more. Any candidates that you think possibly that will enter the TP, and that's the transfer portal?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where everybody in the month of May is keeping an eye on that. And I'm sure there's some guys who are meeting with Pruitt, talking about kind of where they factor in, where they think they're going to factor in, where he thinks they're going to factor in. So, yeah, I would not be surprised if there's a player or two that enters the transfer portal coming out of spring practice. You know, I'm not going to speculate on names, but I would be surprised if no one, if there wasn't someone who didn't interview or enter the portal. So I think we'll see some news there over the course of the next few weeks.
Brent, great as always. Thanks, man. Have a good week.
Hey, guys, I got to go find me a candy bar. Thanks to you guys. Here's my poll question. I'm going to leave you with this thought.
Okay.
Why did they rename the Mars bar a Snickers with almonds?
You think it's the same thing?
It's the same candy bar. Have a great day, guys.
All right. See you, Brent.
Wow.
Every time I see a Mars bar, that's Brent Hubbs, by the way, from VolQuest.com. Every time I see a Mars bar, I think of the Western Kentucky game I went to in the 80s, the famous Mars Bar game.
Yes.
They were playing UCLA. Mm. UAB, I'm sorry. Not UCLA. I got UCLA on the brain. It was Western and UAB in about 1984, 85, somewhere in that time frame. And they give away all these Mars bars and everybody comes in. So, you know, every fan has a Mars bar. Well, there's some bad call and all of a sudden there's 1,000 Mars bars on the court.
Oh.
And my buddy says that the guy next to him threw one that hit Gene Bartow.
Queen Jean?
I'm like, oh,
oh my goodness.
That could have been a Malice in the Palace type of situation.
It was nuts. Yeah. I'd
was
probably,
it intentional?
Oh, yeah, it was. I'm sure probably. I don't know if he was trying to hit him, but anyway. But, yeah, I'd probably already eaten mine and a couple more at the time. But we had Andy Kennedy on the show that Chris Dorch and I do, and, you know, works for SEC Network, coached at Ole Miss for a long time, and he played in that game. He played at Ole Miss. And I said, hey, do you remember the Mars Bar game from Western Kentucky? He said, oh, yeah. And he told the whole story from his perspective. It was awesome. We're going to give you some of the results of this candy bar poll when we come back. So get ready. A lot of them are pretty big names. There's no question about it.
Second place.
Yeah, they're the blue bloods of candy.